Now, if you boiled 60 kettles of water, the staff at Here and Now might not be so impressed. But if you boiled 60 kettles of water in 5 seconds with nuclear energy, now we're talking. In Britain this week, researchers at what's called the Jet Lab achieved a breakthrough in nuclear fusion, which could lead to the creation of zero-carbon artificial suns, as the scientists call it. And joining us to talk about this is Michael Weber. He's professor in energy resources at the University of Texas, Austin. Michael Weber, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's good to talk to you again.
So, significance here. This may not be the moon landing in this space, but the promise of nuclear energy, where does this rank?
It's pretty exciting just to see the forward march of progress with fusion, and fusion's appealing for all sorts of reasons. One is, namely, we know it works with the sun, for example, and it doesn't have a lot of the pesky byproducts of most energy sources like CO2 emissions that we dump into the atmosphere, and it doesn't even have the nuclear waste that we associate with fission. So fusion's pretty exciting, but it's also really hard to do, so anytime there's a major advance, it captures the attention of scientists and engineers like me.
All right, so you've described, I guess, some of the advantages of fusion. What is it? It's where we're not splitting atoms, but squeezing them together, yeah?
Exactly. So if we look at nuclear reactions, there's essentially two types of nuclear reactions, fission and fusion. When you have fission, you're splitting the nuclear bonds or breaking the atomic bonds, and that releases a lot of heat. We can use that heat to boil water, and once we have boiled water to make steam, we can spin a turbine, we can get electricity. Fusion is where you're putting them together instead of breaking them apart, but you can also get a lot of heat and a lot of energy. And that's the same kind of reaction or process happening in the sun. So it gives us light, radiation, but also gives us heat. And it does so in a way that doesn't have the dangerous products. But it's hard to do. And the sun has the advantage of a lot of mass and a lot of gravitational force working with it, among other things. And so it's hard for us to reproduce the sun on Earth.
So in this case, you're great at these layperson explanations. In this case, how did they do it? I gather they had to create temperatures as hot as the sun times 10 to do this?
You need a lot of energy in for the way we do fusion on Earth. And it's usually things like a lot of energy for magnets to hold a plasma in place, or a lot of energy to make the plasma, or laser ignition. So there's a lot of energy inputs to make the system go with fusion. And that's one of the things we're looking for in terms of whether it's a scientific project or it's a power plant. And right now it's still a scientific project on the way towards a power plant because it takes more energy in than we get back out. But it did better than prior demonstrations, so it's a big step forward.
Yeah. And so what are the next steps here? They were able to create this nuclear energy for 5 seconds, I gather. Is one of the next steps to go to 5 minutes or to 5 hours?
Exactly. So the things I look for with fusion, and I'm a fusion sort of enthusiast. I think it's very exciting, but I'm not an expert. But generally speaking, you're looking for, can they do fusion for a reasonable amount of time, a time scale that matters? And historically, the fusion demonstrations have been for a fraction of a second. And this one was notable because it was 5 seconds. But to be a power plant, you want it to work for hours or months or years, that kind of thing. So can they do fusion for longer sustained periods of time? The second thing to look for is, can they do it in a way that gives you more energy back than you put in to do the ignition or to start the process? And we're still not there yet. So that's a next sort of element of advanced innovation. And the third is, can you do that more cheaply than fission or other forms of energy? So we're not there. That last step is when it's a power plant. We're still at the first step, is like making it longer with a greater duration and also improving the energy requirements to make it happen. And I'll say, to get to where they are now, a doubling of the length of time took them like 25 years. So we not only want to double the length of time or increase it from 5 seconds to 5 minutes, but we want to do it in less than 25 years from now, like maybe a few years.
Yeah. Well, and these economics you're talking about, they're what is challenging nuclear energy today. Yeah, that is, if you were to talk to some, you know, finance people about building a new nuclear plant, it's pretty expensive relative to the other options even today. Yeah.
Nuclear, the way we traditionally do it with really large scale power plants, is still pretty expensive in most places. So it's difficult to do. And that's why there's a lot of investment in newer approaches like small modular reactors. These are fission reactors, but they might be cheaper, therefore more competitive. And then fusion is another alternative. It's much more expensive than conventional nuclear today, but the hope is that within some number of decades, it'll be cheaper. But the costs of nuclear are pretty high compared to wind and solar and natural gas and some of the other options we have. Geothermal is looking more competitive today, too.
So how do you think about the timeline here? We have this kind of gee whiz moment in science. There's so much talk of the planet having to go zero carbon by around 2050. good case scenario, if we have this nuclear fusion, is this something that will likely be a post-2050 thing?
It's hard to say. And of course, there's the running joke that fusion's 50 years away and has been for 60 years. And so the question is this a 50-year thing or is it closer? And it's entirely reasonable that something like this might be in place by 2050, but I would guess it's 2050 and beyond. But the truth is, we're still going to need energy beyond 2050. So having a range of options then doesn't bug me. And a lot of good science takes a long time. A lot of the things we're doing today in the energy system were invented in the 1880s. So we're still benefiting from Industrial Revolution advances. Mm. So that doesn't bug me. But it doesn't solve the urgency of the climate crisis. So we can't like wait for fusion to take action. We need to implement the other low-carbon solutions we have in hand today while we're developing other technologies that will be available tomorrow.
Michael Weber is professor in energy resources at the University of Texas, Austin. Michael, great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.